Sorry, I had to switch speakers.
Oh, no worries. Are you guys going to use some video today?
You know, I'm not sure about Maria.
Okay. The great thing about Zoom is, or the bad thing about Zoom is if you're in your pajamas, you don't want to. Were you in there when I
was That's a good point. Can you see me? Is my video on?
It happened just
no,
like
click on, the lower left hand corner of your screen. And, that should click on the video. It should be a line going through a video.
Oh, there we are.
For $15.
It should be showing up.
Yeah, that just
okay.
saved the whole event.
Okay. Now I see a black screen.
I can't wait to see.
So yeah, I see a black screen too.
Make sure you're adjusting it.
I'll be heartbroken. Like out of all.
Should be pointing right at me. Let's take a look here. Monitor. Citrix.
I'll be heartbroken if 7 of the next 10 sessions are won by whoever was fastest in the session. You know what I mean?
You know, it's I don't want to pay $15, but let me take a look here. It should just go straight to my.
Okay.
I like your background, Curtis.
Well, you know, California, you got to expect something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michael, are you trying to get your camera to work?
What's their prize money?
Yeah, I've got. Ooh, I think that might have worked.
Really?
So settings video.
What there should be in the lower left is there's a little video icon. And if the video icon has a line going through it, you should just click it. There you go.
There he Perfect. Is.
There you are.
Hey.
Hey, it's good to finally meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you too. I got a little bit of a mullet going.
Hey, well look, I've got my COVID-19 beard going, so you know.
You're looking good, buddy.
Thank you. So, Maria, are you going to join us by video?
No, I'm going to pass that one. I appreciate it.
I'm going to even ask you why, so that's okay. Is Devin gonna join us?
She's
on another call.
Okay, all right. Well, Michael, you know, let's kind of start with your agenda first on this call. First of all, let me just say hello, and I hope everybody is being safe. I know this is a different kind of way to do business virtually. But I think you probably are starting to kind of get used to it a little bit. So,
We're kind of set up for this.
Yeah, good. Michael, let's kind of start off with your agenda first about what you want to talk about, because these calls are always really about you all and your team, and wanted to kind of make sure I cover your agenda, and I have some thoughts as well, but let's start with that. So what's on your mind?
Yes, sir, I was looking for some headphones.
Oh, okay.
But no worries. You know, I think what we've been really striving for is just efficiency and just trying to eliminate time sucks.
Yeah, I get it.
And so I think we've been doing a better job of that. I've been jotting down what's taken up a lot of my time.
Okay.
And how to eliminate it. And I think one of the main culprits is just emails.
Okay.
I think I get, I don't know, it's got to be close to 100 emails a day. I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe like 70, but it's definitely over 50.
Okay.
All right. And I think, Maria, like a good example would be like the Alex Johnson this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just what I'll try to do is just start having you just run with those. And what you can
just
do is
don't answer it. Let me answer it.
Right.
Michael just needs to not answer it. Just let me answer it.
Okay. Yeah. She's right.
Yeah, I think, Michael, you know, when a flood of emails come in like that, and I know as a manager, you know, especially running a region, they were coming at me too, left and right. You had the vendors coming at you. You had the upper management coming at you. You had clients. You know, you had all of that coming at you. And what you have to do is basically see which ones can you forward over to somebody. Take 5 to 10 minutes. You know, don't read them all. The ones that you just absolutely don't want to respond to, you know, just delete them. Just delete them. Because you don't have time for all of those. The client ones are probably your most critical. Those that are coming from, you know, internal sources maybe have to be looked at. Okay? So, but that's just kind of a factor that you've got to set time for when you are going to look at email. And it can't be... It can't be throughout the day, I don't think. I think, you know, you look at them first thing in the morning or toward the end of the day. When things slow down for you a little bit, if they ever do. But in the middle of the day, where you get the biggest bang for you is your client-facing activity. And you can't have a whole lot of things interrupt with that. So from a time-blocking standpoint, if that's the most important thing you do, when are you doing most of your client-facing activity? Is it between 9 and noon? Is it throughout the day? I mean, how are you scheduling your client meetings right now?
Yes, we're set up Monday through Wednesday for the most part.
Okay.
Throughout the day. And it's pretty scattered. I mean, there's some in the morning, some in the afternoon. But I would say most are pre 2, 3 p.m.
Okay.
Where I'm getting most of those done. Thursday and Friday are catch-up days.
Okay.
And what I would say is I do check in the morning. I knock through all my emails.
Okay.
And then throughout the day, as I'm not doing my client interaction time, I'll kind of scrub back through just to see if there's anything that's important that needs to be addressed for that day.
Yeah. Do your other team members have access to your email?
I do.
Maria, you can answer that.
Okay, so Maria, you do. You know, do you think that you should scroll through some of those emails and determine which ones he doesn't even need to look at? Because even if he looks, it's going to take up space in his brain. He's going to think about it. So.
Right. Michael, are you comfortable with that?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
So what'll happen then is she'll go in and she'll look at your email and the ones that you absolutely don't need to see, she's going to take them on and delete from you so that you don't have to look at it. You'll know that it's been read. It's been addressed. It's been handled.
Right.
Okay. Now that might cut back on, maybe that's worth another 30%, I don't know, in terms of freeing up time.
Well, I've been doing a good job of just unsubscribing to a bunch of crap and then also articulating to wholesalers that I don't need information, you know, weekly.
Yeah.
You know, I quarterly is fine.
Okay.
I think the one thing that would help me, simplify is just if I had one spot for important updates in like wealth management, or an update on just markets if need be.
Okay.
To where I'm not getting peppered by 8 different places.
Okay.
And a lot of times you're just trying to read up on kind of what's going on in the universe, right? And maybe that's something in the future, Maria, that you can take over as far as the financial planning piece. But it's just a lot of consumption. And like you said, everything that you click on starts to drain the battery, right? A little bit absolutely. At a time. By the end of the day, you get so many clicks, you're just drained.
You know what I did is I would, I had this briefcase that I carried look like this to and from the office. I don't think you can see it.
Like that.
Almost yeah. like a suitcase. But what I would do is I would take a file like this. Okay. And I would put a label on that. And the label would be, updates reading. And so, I would, print this stuff out, stick it in this file. And then when I got home, I would have a trash can sitting next to me and I would, pick up something and, scan it. And then I'd just throw it in the trash can. And I would do that every day. And it kept me informed. Things that I needed to keep were kept in the file. But every day I carted back and forth this file. And that helped relieve the clutter. It got it off my desk, off my brain. And this, believe me, the stuff that's really important, you're going to be able to retrieve anyway. Okay.
I think Maria would agree with this, as my desk can get pretty cluttered.
Yeah.
And honestly, since we've transitioned home, I don't have all my stuff.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I haven't missed it.
Okay. See? Yeah.
I get it hasn't been important.
Yeah. Okay. How's this virtual piece working out for you right now? You're connecting with your team members via... Are you using Zoom or some means of connecting with them right now?
You know, we haven't adopted Zoom, which is, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. We've just had a lot of phone conversations. And so Maria, Devin, and I connect every morning, okay. usually by 10 a.m.
Okay.
And we go over what's important for the day and, you know, who did what and just kind of set the tone for, you know, where we stand with things. So honestly, I don't think the three of us have like skipped a beat.
Okay.
Been literally just as efficient. If we had to
without
do this,
the video.
We could, and really don't feel a whole lot very effective by it.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. Now, Michael, one of the things that I would just share with you in terms of working virtually, you know, maybe this, I don't know what it's like in the area where you live, but where I live, everybody's sheltering in place. So if you wanted to get a personal introduction of one client to the next, you get one client connected on the video, and then the person that he wants to introduce you to is connected on the other video, and then he is making the personal introduction. So that's one of the things that can be done when you're working, you know, virtually. Is you can use Zoom to do that. And I know Morgan Stanley now has a enterprise-wide account for that capability. So,
right.
So that's one of the ways that you can do it as opposed to, you know, waiting, you know, for things to end during this crisis. Have you thought about that?
Right. It's a good question. You know, we've added on assets. We've added on relationships, in the last, you know, 70 days.
Okay.
You know, just by conversation, by referrals, by just adding the assets, by communication. Okay. I think Zoom is something that we should adopt. We haven't, but I don't think it so far it hasn't
impacted
us negative.
Okay. Good.
Maybe it's something really we offer to clients to say, listen, you know, here's our call next week. Would you prefer a phone call or Zoom?
Right.
And just see who prefers what and go from there, right?
Exactly. But, you know, I would use it like if there was a new prospect and you couldn't go out and see them. And, you know, that's one of the ways that I would do it is I would look at it virtually. The client that you want, that wants to make the referral or the COI, he can't, you know, bring that client to lunch with you. So you get them connected via Zoom to make the personal introduction. That would be one of the ways I would use it. You know.
Yeah, it's even more time efficient for everybody.
13.
Absolutely. So think about that as a possibility.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. We've got people that are doing that, and they're getting more and more comfortable with it. And one of the things that you might do is just do an experiment with it in terms of how you get them on the schedule. Let Maria play the role of one of the clients, and let Devin play the role, and you get the three connected, and Maria is going to make the personal introduction of Devin, okay? And then you're going to have the conversation just to see how the flow goes so that you're not just jumping out, taking a bunch of risk on something that may or may not work for you. So that's one of the things to consider. Okay. Now, Michael, did you want to spend time today discussing Maria?
What sure. About?
Okay. I don't have any, so Maria, hold on to your seat. I'm going to reveal the world to Michael here.
Can't wait.
Okay. So here's one of the things that came out of my discovery in my conversation with Maria is, you know, one, she's got the personality. She, doesn't really want to interrupt you from your flow. She is ready to take on more. She sees herself as a key relationship manager on the team. Is enthusiastic about implementing and doing the planning capabilities for the team. Doing data gathering, implementation goals in the plan. Give her more rope and room to grow. I think get her connected on the game board concept where she's got some responsibility and accountability to report and give feedback to you. Okay. In terms of where the team stands. So, you know, when you have your game board meeting, if it occurs on a Friday or a Monday, Maria would say, let me tell you how we're doing on our COIs. Let me tell you how we're doing on plans. We set a goal, a target of getting 5 done. We did 4 this week. And the reason we didn't get the 5 was somebody who was scheduled had to cancel. They got sick. And we've rescheduled it for 2 weeks. So that you know it didn't fall through the cracks. So look at the metrics that you want to manage, and each member of the team is responsible for reporting on the metric. You don't want to wait till the end of the month and say, hey, our goal for the month was to get 12 plans done, and we got 3 done. Now we've lost 1/3 of the month. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be following the key drivers of your business on a weekly basis. So I would begin to jot down, in addition to the things that she does, what do we want to measure Maria on? Now that can be a conversation in here and then a partial conversation in person, but let's just kind of go with it. I'm going to ask you the question first, Maria. If we were to look at you in kind of a holistic way, how would you want to be measured? What should we expect from you?
The amount of assets that I bring in or that I'm able to convert to PM or managed, and then how many calls I can accomplish or get in contact with for the unreachables.
Okay. So assets, did you say customer contact?
Yes.
Okay, customer contact. I want to translate these into something that's specific and measurable in a moment. What else?
Also discovering outside assets.
Okay, discovery of outside assets.
Oh no, fucking.
Okay, and what about plans? You one of the key planners on the team?
Yeah, we can do like updating plans and reviewing it once a year.
Okay, so plans and updates. Okay. And what about, are there any, how about referrals? That's a key driver of the business. So client acquisition, keeping a prospect pipeline.
Okay.
One of the things that you feel like you should be measured on? Okay. So what are the key drivers of the business are driving assets, customer contact, planning, your new client or prospect pipeline, and I would also say revenues / fee-based or annuitized business. Okay. Now, those are your five measures. Now, Michael, how does that resonate with you in terms of the measures before we get into how do we establish goals for each of those things? So she's got five measurable items that she would have accountability for. Assets, customer contact, planning, client and prospect pipeline, and revenue and or recurring fee revenue.
I think those are all great metrics, and they're measurable.
Okay.
And we're on the path. I think we're on the path to most of them.
Okay.
So if we kind of go through one at a time, so what we try to do at the end of each month is kind of report to one another what we drove in for the month.
Okay.
Which I think is like when it comes down to it, it's the number one driver, right? That runs right. The businesses is assets that have come in.
That's right.
The second thing that you had on that, what did you have on there, Curtis?
I had the customer contact.
Customer contact. So we've got like, you know, one of her goals each day is to talk to 30 people a day. And what I would say is what we've probably failed to do is just communicate how those conversations are going. You know, are you continually adding, you know, those conversations? Are you adding, are you finding assets? Are you adding those onto your pipeline? Okay. And just the key metric for her daily is just to kind of the conversations and then adding to the pipeline. Conversations adding to the pipeline, and that'll ultimately lead to that monthly business that closes, right?
Right. Exactly. So, okay. So that was number two. Planning update.
Yeah. So I think the planning update is just, it's probably maybe twofold. It's okay. One, anytime we really have new business that comes in or a prospect,
okay.
Maria really, I a lot of times I'll gather the information if I'm on a call with that person.
Okay.
I'll forward it to Maria and say, hey, Maria, input this into a plan. You know, send it back to me. Let's review it together and then let's run it through with the client.
Okay.
Okay. So I think one of two things could happen. One, that's a pretty good process.
Yeah.
To where I'm writing the recap up. I'm shooting it over to her. She's running it. And then either we can either run it together, have her run it, you know, separately, whatever that might be. Ultimately, I think the goal of Maria is to one, probably have you start gathering the information and then presenting the plan. I think that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
And we're getting there. She's become really, really efficient running these plans and inputting the data. And I couldn't tell you the last time that I've started from front to finish of doing a plan. A lot of times it's handing it off, and she's done a good job running with that.
Okay, great. Okay. The fourth was clients and prospects. So what this really is you know, what's your pipeline for turning prospects into clients? You know, and who really so that's one of the metrics by which we're going to measure Maria on. her ability to get referrals, which is a prospect, and convert them into clients.
Right. So I would say it's probably twofold. What we're looking for Marie to do is do such an outstanding job on these calls with clients and sending really solid, informative recaps to where whenever there is an opportunity, she's uncovering the assets.
Okay.
And then she's driving in that business, you know, when she uncovers it, right? So it's adding the existing clients, finding the outside assets and adding it to her pipeline very, very like daily. And then the second fold would be by doing such a great job with these folks that she's getting referrals from them to new folks.
Okay. Kind of using,
I think that would be the
enthusiastic endorse model or using the COIs. Okay. Now, we'll come back to goals in a moment for each of these. And I'm going to write them down, summarize them, and send them back to you. Revenues, fee-based revenue. Are we adding, I mean, that addresses number one, which is asset growth, but we want to measure how are we doing on our revenue, you know, versus goal. And so, Maria, do you have a measurement process in place versus, you know, what we're trying to do weekly so that by the time we get to the end of the month, we're not saying we didn't meet our own expectations?
Honestly, I don't really have a measurement and process. Just when I'm kind of doing my calls, I'll look at the accounts, see if it's something that Michael might want to put in managed status.
Okay. So, okay. So that's where we are on revenue. Now, let's go back and look at each of these items in terms of goals. Okay. So if you were to think about in a monthly basis, well, let's look at it annually first. On an annual basis, what do you think you want to bring in assets that makes sense for the team, Maria? New assets.
Michael, I'm going to defer to you on that one.
Yeah, I'd say we've got a monthly goal of $500,000 for her to basically either bring in new assets or convert non-managed to managed assets, you know, 500 grand a month.
500,000 a month. Okay.
Yeah. So I try to shoot for, $2 million, a month. So my goal is probably $24 million a year.
Okay.
Maria's goal is $6 million. I think that $30 million, if we're doing that, we're cooking.
Okay. So that's the asset goal. I'll tell you what my feelings are about that goal in a moment, but I want to go through the others. Customer contact. The goal for customer contact, you said, and I think that's like unbelievable, 30 people a day. Now, is that for the both of you or?
That would be, you know, this was kind of when we were going through the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay.
It just kind of getting in touch with people, right? I would say her normal thing would be, what do you think, Maria? Probably of like maybe about five a day.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a busy, that'd be like a busy day for you as far as just like the pre-scheduled calls.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think outside of the pre-scheduled calls, what we're looking for Maria to do is, you know, be in touch with her pipeline.
Right.
Being in touch with her pipeline and then any other business that she might think that's out there, right? We also have a list of what we call unreachable people that for one reason or another, we haven't been able to get in touch with for a year. And it's not for the lack of trying. It's just they're not answering or they're not getting back to us, right? So it's either, you know, hey, do you email? Do you text? Do you call? Do we overnight them a performance report and say it's important for us to speak? It's kind of getting creative and figuring out how to get these people to contact us.
Okay. So what we want to do is we want to split, Maria, your contact goals between prospects, which is new business, and customers. Now, for prospects, your target has got to kind of be in line with Michael's target, for new relationships. So we're upgrading the business. So the prospects that you are looking to get referred to have a target minimum of what, Maria?
Michael, what do you think for me? 500?
Yep. I think that's kind of our minimum as a just in general.
Okay. 500,000. Okay. Planning. And I'm going to break that down into two categories. Plans and implementation. So, Maria, how many active planning appointments do you have on a monthly basis?
Not that many. It's really what the guys bring to me. For instance, right now I'm working on two plans for John Cook, which is one of Michael's partners.
Okay. So. So planning right now is two. Now, if you go at that pace on a weekly basis, call it 40 weeks, you'd end up doing about 80 plans in a year. Okay. So your planning right now is going to be two per. All right. And then of course implementation that you would work on that. That's hard to implement, but
yeah, you can go for it.
It's to look at that as a goal. What's my implementation goal? Well, your implementation goal is to discover new business out of each plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I think for Maria is that the good thing that we've done is we've got a financial plan for almost everybody in our book of business. So any new plans that she's running, it's for prospects. Okay. And it's basically whenever we're coming across those prospects. But, you know, the good thing is the heavy lifting's done. I think it's more of reprofiling on each call and finding assets. And then, you know, once per year, you know, we have a checklist in our folders, and unfortunately our folders are at work. It's probably the only thing that we truly maybe miss is that we're actually running through the actual plan with people once a year just to remind them that, hey, we have this written plan. Even though we haven't went over it in maybe a year, you know, just know that it's something we haven't let dust grow on it. It's something that we're proactively updating.
All right. Now, the revenue goal – or, you know, for the team for year end, taking in consideration we have this pandemic, and I want to break down what the revenue goal is for Maria, but what's the overall revenue goal for the team, Michael?
This year, 2.2 million.
Okay. And that's the goal for the team. Now, how much would you expect Maria to drive for this year?
Good question. This is all kind of new to her.
I know that we're just getting into this today.
Right. So I think if I had to put together measurables, it's trying to get, you know, $500,000 put into revenue-based wealth management, right? And that's either coming from bringing in new assets.
Right.
Or I think Maria in the next 45 days before we have to get this new paperwork signed from Morgan Stanley is identifying the non-managed accounts at Morgan Stanley, scrubbing through those and what makes sense to make managed, right? I think that's low hanging fruit.
Right.
Because it's an easy conversation to these client, you know, Roth IRAs that we maybe haven't had managed that were, you know, 12 grand years ago and now they're 55 grand and now it's time for them to be in a fee-based model, right?
Right. Right.
Right. But I would say out of that, the only measurable that we've done, Curtis, is that she is trying to drive in that $500,000 a month.
Okay.
And the second thing would be is that she is overseeing, you know, 100 relationships.
Right.
And I'm not sure what those relationships drive.
Okay. All right. So let's look at it this way. So if your goal, Maria, is to bring in $500,000 a month, that's roughly $6 million incremental in assets. At a 0.8 velocity rate, that's going to be about 48,000
incrementally
from $6 million. So generally speaking, every 10 million should equate with 100,000 in revenue, right? 1% of 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we're looking at here, Maria, is you now thinking about a personal goal in terms of income for yourself. And then let's go back and see, are these goals realistic? So if I were to say, if you're going to earn $100,000 a year, okay, what are you going to need in assets to really drive that? So 6 million is to 48,000. So you're going to need to drive 100 million, you're going to probably need about 15 million, I mean, to drive 100,000 gross. That's going to be about, what? Find my handy dandy calculator. Well, let's just do the math.
Yeah, I'll just call it 50% payout. Yeah. 20 million.
20 million. So is that type of income realistic for you? Is that a desire?
I mean, down the road. Obviously okay. Not instantly.
Over what time frame?
Say 5 years.
5 years to make 100 grand?
Maybe more like three. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I'll just throw this out there.
It can happen. It can happen pretty soon if we can get some assets driven in.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say, you know, your goal in the next 24 months should be to earn $100,000.
Okay.
She can see me smiling.
Okay. I mean, I'm just putting,
I would say she's got.
I'm just putting it out there.
She's got the talent to do it.
I believe so too. So what that means, Maria, is you're going to need about 15 million in new assets to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So personal goal, six figures, $100,000, 24 months. Okay. I want you to write that down, put it somewhere. Paste that somewhere so that that's something that you're looking toward. Now, if you're only doing 6 million a year, you're not going to get there.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, really you should be adding about 7 or 8 this year and 7 or 8 next year to hit that number. That's doable. Okay.
And as time goes on, Maria, it gets easier. You know, my goal started at $500,000.
Right.
And now they're four times that.
Okay. So that's where that comes from. So now what I think we've done is we've got asset goals for Maria, client contact goals, what we want to do with prospects. We have a minimum expectation of what we're asking for. From referrals, folks that have at least 500,000 or more in assets to work with. Planning is 2 per month. And revenue goal of, if you do add 7 million incrementally this year, okay, that's going to equate to about 48 to 50,000, and you'd be looking at doubling next year. Now, Michael, how does that set with you? If she was able,
I think that's
to
great.
These things, okay.
I think Maria, a lot of that, what I want to try to start transitioning is I want to start transitioning kind of like the people I get confirmed with, like rollovers, to have Devin start doing. Because I think she's capable of that. And then anything that, you know, I'll come across some low hanging fruit here and there that if it's not worth kind of like my, you know, in my time's best spent trying to find bigger assets, right?
Right.
And that's what I enjoy and what I think I'm good at. I think you're really good at running these planes. I think that you're really good at, you know, when I've got some things kind of lined up, you're good at kind of following it through. We hand these relationships over. It's just, you know, writing good, you know, have a good conversations, good thorough recaps, uncovering the assets and starting to drive some of that stuff, even if it's unbeknownst to me. You know what I mean? That would be the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maria, this is your opportunity to push back a little bit on me. Am I being too aggressive?
No, I don't think you're being too aggressive. I think those are good goals.
Okay.
And it's something that's measurable.
Okay. So, Maria, what's your goal in terms of income for this year?
I don't even know. I haven't even thought of that.
$50,000.
Okay, I mean, I think that's an easy goal, the $50,000, because are you talking about in commissions or just?
Total income.
Well, currently, I've surpassed that already.
Okay.
Yeah, she's in our training program.
FAA.
So the base pay.
Yeah, she's an FAA, so I think she's set up for around 75-ish. Is that right, Maria?
70.
Okay.
And she runs through the FAA for the next, I don't know, how long is it, Maria? Is it?
I think it's 2 or 3.
Are they quintiling you, Maria?
Yeah, but with everything that's going on, it's been put on pause.
Okay. So for you to be a first quintile performer, where do you need to be at in terms of total revenue?
I don't have that sheet in front of me, and I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Okay. Can you?
But I know I've been in the second. I can.
Okay.
But I've been in the second quartile just because that's what Mike and I agreed on.
Okay. So second quintile is your minimum expectation for you, but you've got to think about what you want out of life in terms of income and that sort of thing as well. So, I think to get to 100,000 in 2 years might be a little low now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'd like you to maybe think that next year, this year you're going to be in that 70 to 80,000 category. Next year, maybe you go to between 100 and 125 as a goal.
Okay.
You know, goals are supposed to be a little bit stretchy, you know, give you a little bit of not too much stress, but a little stretchy, but definitely something that's doable. Okay. Okay. So Michael, back to you. Now you've got some measurement standards for Maria. And what I'm going to try to do is get them on a little chart or paper with the measurable items on the left, with the goals in the center, and then one little section or category for actual. Okay?
Right.
And see how all that resonates with you. So now you've got something, you know, where she's headed, what she's focused on, what she's driving.
Right.
There's not a lack of communication about what that is. Now,
right.
There's got to be some other things that you do that make these goals fly, Maria, and that is you got to have a couple of initiatives that drive this. So part of it is what we've been coaching you on in Supernova. It's your centers of influence. You know, it's getting referrals and personal introductions, using the enthusiastically endorsed model.
Yes.
Those are going to be your drivers for business, okay?
Okay.
So what I have to do, Michael, is I've got to get this laid out for you and maybe send it to you within the next 2 days.
Okay.
So now you've got Maria onboarded with her goals that match with your expectations. Okay. So now what we have to do is we got the goals. Now we're looking at the, we're going to look at her process for getting there. The COIs, enthusiastically, implementing Supernova. Is there anything else, Michael, that you think that I should think about relative to Maria and her goals?
I think we hit on a lot for Maria. You know, when I read Alex Johnson's email this morning, right, to me, it was pretty impressive, right? I think he was thorough but brief, right, Maria?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kid's got a pretty bright future. I want kind of like our follow-up, our recap to be kind of, you know, that in the back of your mind when we're following up with these people, not that maybe it's just – and trust me, I'm guilty of it too. Just another quarterly call, right? Or a monthly
right.
call. It's just, you know, bringing some energy to the table, talking to them, you know, getting them feeling good about the situation, reprofile and just driving in the business, right? And Curtis, we're trying to have the mentality of treating clients like if we left next month, you know, they're coming with.
Right. Right.
It's not even a shadow in their mind.
I, you know what, Michael, you are really getting this so fine-tuned. I mean, you know, congratulations. I mean, it's fine-tuned. I mean, you know, for the first time, we got some measurement standards for Maria. We know what, and she knows what her goals are. And, they're goals that can be accomplished. She's going to feel good about it. And she's going to make the kind of money that she wants to make. And, you know, each year it's going to keep getting better and better. So, you know, I like what we've done. I like what Maria, you know, kind of talked to me about last time, inventory, goals, expectations. And, you know, that's the feedback that I got. She wants to be this key relationship manager, implementing planning, you know, primary, maintain relationships, do the game board, have the team huddle. Now we got financial goals. She's got skin in the game. All of the things that we talked about. Have I left anything out, Maria?
No, I think you covered a lot of it and all of it.
Yep. Yeah, I got, you know, I had a.
And if she truly wants to become a relationship manager, it's going to be, you know, you want to pursue your CFP.
Yeah. So that becomes like another one of these, personal goals, you know, CFP. Have some business. Well, that's a business goal, CFP. Have some personal goals too. That's important. And when we have an opportunity for another one-on-one, Maria, I'm going to ask you, you know, what do you want to do personally? I mean, in life, I mean, is it travel? Is it to learn Spanish? Is it to take a salsa dancing class? What do you want to do? Cause this has got to be fun too. So mm-hmm. I want you to think about your personal goals as well as the business goals. Okay.
Okay.
Michael, what else would you like to talk about on this call? At this point,
I think it's for me is just kind of running down my list of just near term goals. It's to make as few decisions as daily as possible.
Okay. Which means, you know, working with fewer and bigger clients. Okay. And, you know, love to see you get down to where you're just working with just 75 people mm-hmm. that you like. And that they bring the revenue streams in that you are looking at. So you've got to constantly be looking at that stair step to the stars, you know.
Right.
Raising your targets, you know, the minimums that you go after. You probably need to like revisit that about every 6 months. To say, right, you know, is this where I want to be? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And you'll continue to accelerate like that. Okay. Well, if that's it, that's all I wanted to really cover, Michael. You know, as you've always done, I know you've been in the throes of trying to manage all this during this pandemic, but I started getting used to all these lengthy emails that you sent me on things that you wanted me to take a look at. So, you know, that's fine. Keep doing that. And I'll keep looking to address these things with you.
Excellent. Thanks, Curtis.
All righty. You all have a wonderful rest of your week. And Maria, thank you so much for being honest and forthcoming with our conversation.
Always. Thanks, Curtis.
You take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Curtis. You too. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.